going on, everyone? You're tuning into the Arkansas Children's Better Today, Healthier Tomorrow podcast, and I'm your host, Ryan Howard. Today, we have the opportunity to sit down and chat with Eric Braden, who happens to be the 3D printing lab manager here at Arkansas Children's. Today, he's going to get the opportunity to sit down and talk to us about all the cool things that they're doing over in the print lab. Eric, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good, man. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come and chat with us about everything. I don't want to waste any of your time. I want to get right to it.
Awesome.
So, for the people at home, do you mind kind of explaining what are the main medical applications for 3D printing today?
So it's new and it's broad, but in our world currently, it's mostly about surgical planning. So like, you know, the providers and the surgeons who are getting ready to do a procedure, they'll do a bunch of imaging, like CT imaging, which, you know, is like a bunch of x-rays, and you're having to translate those x-rays, those two-dimensional images, translate those x-rays into essentially 3D in your mind to know what you're going to get when you go in there. And especially with things like congenital heart defects, it's really complex. So it's really hard to see that spatially in those images. So what we can do is make an actual physical object so they can hold it, turn it, and see how this, you know, this overlaps with this, or this is this close to this. It's a difference between hearing 2 millimeters and seeing 2 millimeters. So just to get it a little bit closer to reality so they can do that planning. There's a lot of other cool applications like therapeutic devices, doing 3D printed masks based on facial scans to help with burn scars. There's a whole lot of stuff in the orthotics and prosthetics field that I would love to get to one day that we're not doing yet. Not just making prosthetic limbs, but augmenting that in various ways. The sky's the limit, really. There's cool stuff like surgical aids, like where they do this. I learned about this at Mayo Clinic, where they do a surgery where they take part of the leg bone and use it to replace a part of the jaw that they have to take out because of like a tumor or something. And they use 3D printing to plan it, like, okay, we're going to do this from this part of the bone, this part of the face. And then they actually print like a little thing they can screw onto the bone to guide those tools so they can get exactly what they plan to get instead of having to eyeball it or measure it. They can actually, you know, just like a carpentry jig, get exactly the part they want. And then instead of having to take things out of the face and then assemble them and figure it all out in place, they can actually just do all that on a little scaffolding bedside. They can just say, okay, here, this goes here, and just reconstruct the whole thing. Save a lot of time in the OR, save time under anesthesia. I just talked a bunch about something we don't do here that I really want to do. But yeah, for us, surgical planning, mostly around visualization and being able to talk about it with colleagues and talk to patients, families. You might go to your doctor and they're trying to describe something going on with you, and they get out a sheet of paper and they sort of roughly draw a drawing that's kind of on the level of what I could do. That's different than saying, hey, this is your child's heart right here. This is what it looks like. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to take this part and we're going to put it over here. Or this is the part that's causing this problem. And especially for people like us who don't think in those medical imaging terms and those really super technical places, you know, it helps us to understand better what's actually going on when you can just hold a real physical object.
And that's so awesome, man. I gotta ask you this. So, like, how common is it for pediatric medical facilities to utilize like technologies like 3D printing?
I would say uncommon but growing. Common enough that I think, you know, you're gonna find it in lots of places. You know, I don't think many folks in our region are doing it yet, but if you go to bigger facilities in larger areas like Boston. Has an incredible program. San Diego's got an incredible program. Los Angeles is building out an incredible program at USC. So it's happening, right? We're still, I think, ahead of the curve a little bit. We're still learning. We're still helping push the envelope, but we're not alone for sure, right? You know, there's still a lot of other folks working on it, but we're still kind of a rare breed.
And I want to ask, narrowing in specifically towards ACH, like, how long have we been utilizing this technology here? And then, just because I know you've been here for a while, how have you seen that technology evolve and the program evolve since its inception here?
Gotcha. So my work with 3D printing here got started in the Sim Center in probably 2012, 2013, around just making parts for mannequins, because especially back then, the pediatric space wasn't really well served, because a lot of the research and marketing was coming out of the adult trauma and military space. So there just weren't a lot of products for pediatric simulation, you know, putting a chest tube into a, like a small patient. So we would have to make that ourselves. And 3D printing was a great augment to that. And then in 2016, a donor purchased, you know, purchased this very high-end printer for the Heart Institute to do 3D printing there, because they were at that time occasionally ordering 3D printed models from Japan, which were actually, it's a whole different beast what they were doing. But anyway, so we got started then just part-time. They called me because I was that guy who did 3D printing, which is, you know, kind of like you want to make a movie and you called that guy who had like an Instamatic camera, right? Like, they didn't know how little I knew, but fortunately they did call me. Learned a lot as we went, but we started, I don't have any examples of our early prints here, but you can really, you can very easily look at our early prints and look at our prints today and see how we've come along in accuracy and just visual clarity. Have learned a lot, you know, about how to split things open and use magnets and things to make it more accessible. Starting to use flexible materials to make it less brittle. And then in the last, so that for a long time was just me doing that a little bit at a time alongside the simulation work. And then in the last year or two, we actually spun it up full time. So now it's the full lab serving everybody in the hospital, not just heart. And so there's a lot more quick development now happening and trying to grow into new things. And
oh man, that's so cool, man. You know, and something I got to tell people about at home, like I got the opportunity to go over and check out your lab last week, man. It was so cool seeing the machines and the Wacom tablet and everything. Can you kind of briefly explain some of the technologies that you guys are using over applications that you guys are using to create your models and everything?
Yeah. So it all starts with, well, it is usually starting with a CT scan. And then, so a patient's getting a CT scan, and then I'm getting that imaging in some specialized software I've got called Materialize, that, or from a company called Materialize, that helps me essentially trace. It's kind of what it boils down to, is tracing that CT scan based on what's there, slice by slice, and then building out a three-dimensional model from it. I do a lot of CAD work to supplement this, like either, you know, adding these little magnets so that things can, you know, come together or come apart to make visualization better, or adding support structures, these little stands. And I use things like Rhinoceros, and just recently started with ZBrush, like a digital sculpting tool, to start doing some painting and sculpting for things like this, which is, this is actually for more of a presentation demonstration purpose, because we can't make, I can't make them yet this realistic looking based on the CT data. You don't get this much information from the CTs. But so use, you know, just a pretty powerful computer. And then I have a nice big, like you saw, a nice big pen display that really makes the, that sort of artistic part of it a lot easier. Again, because, you know, using a pen is a lot easier than using a mouse. And then as far as the printing end of things, we have what's called PolyJet, which is, that's the crazy high-end printing, which does these things. It does, it prints all these essentially as is, but encased in some support material, but it prints full color. It can print from, you know, from soft all the way to hard. It can print these full color things. And then we have a, all the way down to like just the kind of printer that I had in my garage, where it's the sort of the easy cheese style or hot glue style, where it's, you know, just building things up one line at a time. It's called FDM printing. But anyway, that I use for structural things, or like you saw the cases we've made for Angel One to help with their protecting the drugs they take on their trips. So just solving little problems like that, I'll do a lot of that with FDM just because it's nice for real quick iteration. You know, you can make a design and actually hold it and test it and then go again.
That's awesome. And I know you referenced these. Can I touch this? I'm not going to break this. I'm a videographer. I'm making a replacement of these. I break this. But but these are so awesome, man. Could you briefly, like, if you had, like, it may not be enough time, but if you had, like, a minute and a half to kind of briefly explain kind of from this inception to getting to this point to create this, what goes into creating one of these or something like this?
So for this one, I'll just say, so this for one of our cath docs, interventionalists, they're going to put in a stent to open up part of this aorta where it's real pinched right there. And he wanted to be able to view the relationships of the different parts, as well as this little white piece called the PDA, which is in this baby attaching the red and the blue, which aren't normally attached. So he's going to put a device right here, and this helps him visualize that. And I also printed one that actually simulates the device in there. So he could see, when I put that device in, is it going to push up against this or cause any problems? Anyway, so you start with a request. So, you know, just, hey, can you make this? And this baby has already had imaging, that CT imaging. I pull it in, identify the different structures. Like, this is the aorta. This is the pulmonary artery. This is the PDA. Identify those in that set part called segmentation. And then move it over to CAD, computer-aided design, which is where I then take those interpreted pieces, put them together, make sure they're printable. I add things like this little black part right here that is a support structure. Like, this isn't real, but it keeps this from falling apart. Like, these almost all will have something kind of hidden in there that's keeping these structures from falling apart. And I'm doing all of this with the guidance of, like, the physicians, right? So they... You have one set of physicians who's asking for these and making a request. And then we have our imaging specialists, cardiologists are my closest partners. The current medical director of the lab is Shay Mervis. And she especially will sit with me and look at the segmentations I've done to make sure they're accurate. Dr. Marcus Reno really helped start this, along with Dr. Renee Bornemeyer. And especially, he worked with me for years, kind of helping my knowledge get up to speed. So they sort of approve the segmentation. And then as I'm doing the design, they'll say, hey, yeah, that's great. Can you make this part more visible? Or they really need to see how, you know, this hole right here relates to this vessel. So can you make it so that they can, you know, pull a part off to see that? Or can you make this part hollow or this part solid? So just tweaking that design. And then I'll print it. It takes anywhere from, you know, this took about 2 hours to print, which is great, to, you know, this probably took about 13 hours to print. Just depends on the size generally. And then I have a whole post-processing phase where I will take it off the printer and have to clean it up. They don't look that pretty when they first come off. So I have to remove all this support material that helps them stay together while they're being printed. Add in things like the magnets and stuff like that.
All right. And I guess another question, kind of, I feel like you already kind of answered this, but I know this is something that started off originally where y'all were supporting, like, cardiology, and it's kind of evolved into this other thing. What are some of the other service lines that you kind of support through this, and what unique ways are you able to help them by using this technology?
So one of our other currently big and growing customers is orthopedic surgery, especially with spines, where, again, you have complex physical relationships. Like, you know, like, so a kiddo with really severe scoliosis, like, the way that the spine is moving can be, I mean, they can visualize it just fine. You know, they're really capable, but this just gives them more tools so they can hold it and look at it and turn it and see, okay, this is where the ribs are going to go. This is going to be a problem here. I'm going to have to, you know, compensate for how close these two things are, because what they're doing is so physical in the surgery. So orthopedic surgery, we're doing that and growing, which is really great. We've done some with our craniomaxillofacial folks. And again, it's about relationships, right? It's about, you know, there's a tooth here that's going to be in the way, or this nerve that I want to avoid when I'm doing this surgery, or we're doing this cranial distraction and we want to make sure we're not going to hit this or that, or just want to plan how we're going to do plates. One thing I think it's a common application we've done a couple times is the orbital floor. So under your eyeball right here is a very thin, I'm going to possibly say things that are wrong. So this is not medical advice. There's thin bone under there. And they have plates that to me honestly look like a guitar pick. It's like a little guitar pick they cut into shape and then thermoform it like with warm water essentially to the shape that they want to be to help that bone grow back to a better shape if it's broken. And what the 3D print can do is they can form that on an idealized model. So I can take the orbit that's not injured and mirror it to the orbit that is injured. And then they can pre-bend that plate before they do surgery to be ready. So when they get in there, they can really tweak it to be right. But that's helping them skip ahead essentially with that step. We're doing some work with burn and occupational therapy. A lot of that's, we're aiming to more towards therapeutic things like burn masks, these compression masks where normally they might have these neoprene ski masks or things like that to help the scarring happen in a controlled and more comfortable way. And these masks are, at least so far what we've seen, they're very effective. They're less claustrophobic feeling than the neoprene. They're aesthetically more pleasing. I mean, it's still a plastic mask on your face, but it's much more just emotionally comforting for them to have that because it feels less distracting. There's so many more applications. You know, like I said, our main thrust is surgical planning just because that's where we've been doing most of our work. But 3D printing is just a tool to make things into a physical reality, right? So you can do anything, just about.
And this is like really cool. And I ask another question for the people at home or other people that may be seeing this and they're like, this is really cool. And I maybe potentially want to do this one day. What kind of training did you have to undergo to get to this point where you can kind of print out these cool things and be able to support all these service lines or just do what you do every day?
Gotcha. So it's new enough that a lot of my training has just been the things that I've learned to do on my own. And working with colleagues, again, the physician team in cardiology and the cardiac imaging have been wonderful because they've given me this time and push to grow this way. So having them really keeping me in the lines with the medical things. But as far as the technical parts, this isn't a good answer. This is what simulation, I got the same question a lot. I just learned it as I went. That's kind of who I am and what I've done. But the industry as it grows, I think engineering is a lot of people are coming from engineering and radiology. So like a lot of radiology techs will go from that and progress to here because it's using a lot of those skills. A lot of the you know, they know a lot about the physics and the application of the imaging. And then there's reconstructions they do in there digitally that all just sort of can kind of translate to this. Or, you know, there's a guy I know who's fantastic, who his background is movie special effects, like literally practical, like not like digital, like, you know, zombie masks. So he is this exceptional painter and sculptor, and he's taken those skills and adapted them digitally. And now he's applying them in his institution and it's making world-class, like this just amazing work with those skills. So it's new enough and it's diverse enough that I think just about any background can figure out a way to learn it and be passionate about it and do it. But that said, if a teenager was asking me, I would say engineering.
And that's so awesome. And I think that speaks a lot to the passion that you have for your job because you're in this kind of like uncharted territory and you're willing to learn and evolve as the industry grows, especially with something so new. So I'm using this kind of a lead up to ask this next question because it sounds like you really love what you do and you're passionate about being able to help people with everything. So what do you love the most about your job and what you do?
That is an impossible question because it's all of it. If I was going to answer that really broadly, I would say just the fact that there's three pieces of my work that make me really happy. One is that I get to have an impact on health in children, right? Like you can't replace the fact that that our goal is to help kids' health, right? Like versus a bottom line. I mean, you know, having that as your core motivator is huge. And being able to see that happen. The other is it's creative, right? I get to make things, right? I get to do new stuff. I get to play with color and material and shape. So I get to be very creative. I get to help. And then I get to solve problems. So like it's almost like puzzles, like learning to do 3D design and learning how, like, okay, how am I going to make these two things fit together without sacrificing the accuracy? So constantly every day getting to solve a puzzle. Helping, creativity, and problem solving, essentially puzzle solving. If I was going to pick a single activity, I don't think I could. I think it changes every day. Like right now it's this. It's modeling and digital painting because it's fun and it's new and it's creative. But tomorrow, you know, I'm going to be working on one of these models. Like this one was super fun. I just did this week. So it's kind of what I'm doing today, I think, is what my favorite thing is.
I think that's awesome. And I think that it's really cool that you have so much passion for what you do and helping people. And I got to thank you on behalf of all the people at home for all the work that you're doing to help the children of Arkansas be better today and healthier tomorrow. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come and hang out with us. Thank you guys at home for watching this. If you enjoyed this, if you feel like it can help someone else, please make sure that you drop a comment, like this, and share it. We'll see you next time. Stay encouraged.